by step, and it would be very helpful if you had. There are Bibles in the pew, so if you want to take a Bible, and we're looking at verses chapter 4 in Deuteronomy, verses 15 to 40. We've only read a few verses, but I'll be going through that whole So we could be here till about 4 o'clock this afternoon. Just kidding, pulling away. And this week we're looking at idols, and we'll follow a little bit on from that next week. And if you could read chapter 5, which is the beginning of the Ten Commandments, that would be really good for next week. Well, let me pray. May the words of my lips and the thoughts and meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord God, our Creator and Redeemer. Amen. I remember a few years ago, 2007, after New Zealand lost the rugby, don't start getting depressed, when they lost the World Cup in 2008. Remember, a whole depression came over the country, if you remember, and it was incredible. I couldn't believe the reaction to it. But I was interested in what the article in Monday's press, so they lost on Saturday or Sunday, whatever. This was Monday morning's press. It said, on Sunday morning, after the game, on Sunday morning, New Zealanders turned to their other religion, the church. Isn't that interesting? I thought, that's very clever. Sadly, that is very true. Rugby, for many New Zealanders, is not just a passion, it is a religion. It's an idol. Well, in Deuteronomy chapter 4, which we're looking at this morning, God forbids idolatry. Now, just let me remind you that Moses, the context is Moses is encouraging the people of Israel to keep following God when they live in the land, when they've gone over the river and live in the land, because Canaanite culture eventually will seduce them from living for the one true God into worshiping other gods. And in principle, if that sounds strange to you, in principle, that still keeps people from living for God today. And it's also continually draws Christians away from fully serving God, following idols. So the question that this passage brings up is, what is your idol in life? What is it you live for? Is it for God, Jesus Christ, or is it something else? If you're a Christian, is there something which is coming before God in your life at the moment? We mustn't be fooled into thinking that we don't have idols in our lives. And I think this is a very searching passage. It certainly convicted me. And so may God examine each one of us this morning and change us for the better for our Lord. Well, Moses says four things about idols. Firstly, what is an idol? Well, in verse 15, Moses says, watch carefully, don't become corrupt and make yourself an idol. Idolatry is making one's own God in life. It's having something in life which comes before God. Moses continues in verse 16, they're not to make idols, whether it's formed like a man or a woman or any animal or bird or any creature that moves along the ground or any fish. People in the ancient world, you know this, often carved animals out of metal or stone which they bowed down to and which they asked things from them for. They also worshipped nature and had different gods for everything. Verse 19, and when you look at the sky and the sun and the moon and the stars and all the heavenly array, do not be enticed into bowing to them and worshipping things that the Lord your God has given to all nations under the sun. Now, most people don't worship idols like that today. Many do. The gods of the rivers, I mean, you hear it quite a lot. But most people don't in our society. But we do worship idols. Because idolatry is living for anything in life and not God. Or it's putting something something before God in one's life. It's doing the opposite of what God created you for. He called you to worship him and to live for him. But instead, you worship or live for what he's made rather than him. It's like your children loving the bike that you bought them or the computer that you bought them, loving them more than you, loving those things more than you, even instead of you. That's idolatry. Secondly, how do we develop idols? Well, this chapter tells us, verse 25, Moses says, after you have had children and grandchildren and lived in the land a long time, it is then that you will make idols. Moses is saying that when the fighting has finished over the other side of the river, and when you've settled in the land, when you've built homes and farms, you will prosper and become affluent. You'll have grandchildren around you after a few generations. And then life will become easy. It'll become comfortable. It is then that you will forget God, who he is, what he has done for you, and then you will turn to idols. So initially, when life is difficult, when they've no settled home, when the family's on the move all the time, when they're going hungry, when they've got nothing to eat, when they've got no clothes to put on their back, in those difficult times, they will rely on God. But when the fighting is over, and they've built their nice homes, and when there's good harvest and abundance of food, when life gets comfortable and easier, when there's more time to enjoy things and more leisure time, Moses said, it is then that you will seek and follow idols. And if you know the Old Testament, you'll know that that's exactly what they did. They got curious about the Canaanite gods. Oh, this god brings rain. This one brings sunshine, if you ask this god for sunshine. This one brings good harvests. This one brings sexual fertility. And they offered sacrifices to the gods so the gods wouldn't send bad things, and they'd ask them for things. Well, all this attracted the Israelites. Of course it would. You've got gods that sort of give you things. They'd be very attractive. If life was easy with following these gods, everything would be easy. It all attracted the Israelites. And after a time, they forgot God. They lived as the Canaanites did. Now, do you see the pattern? A comfortable, prosperous life with an abundance leads to not seeing their need of God. Then it leads to forgetting God, which in turn, in decades after, or generations after, which turns into seeking other things in life, which is idols. And as I thought about it this week, I realized that that's New Zealand culture today, isn't it? Well, that's Western culture. Life is so comfortable, people don't need God. They might believe that God exists, but they don't live for him. They live for themselves and other things. I think money is many people's idol today. For some, it's their career. For some, it's their work or travel today. They just live to travel or go on holidays, or some live for fitness. They want to be fit all the time and healthy all the time, so we see Lycra all over the place. All over the place. I was walking in the park the other day, and I won't go into that. It was so funny. Never mind. But they look odd. But they're just fitness freaks. Now, I'm an ex-PTI. I love fitness. It's wonderful. But some people live for these things. Just having a comfortable life becomes an idol. If I've got a nice home and a peaceful life, I don't want anything else bothering me, what do I need God for? I can ignore him in life. Except maybe I'll say the odd prayer sometimes when I've got difficulties or trials or whatever. That is most people in New Zealand, which is exactly what Moses warned the Israelites about. But it's important to remember that Moses here is warning God's people against idolatry. People who know about God, which today is Christians, us. Can we fall into idolatry? Yes, we can. Many Israelites in later generations came to worship their religion, would you believe? It was very subtle, but they actually came to worship the temple. They'd built the temple, absolutely wonderful, wonderful thing. They came to worship the ritual of what they were doing in the temple and the ceremonies and the traditions of religion. And that was idolatry. Just as some Christians today can worship buildings. I was at the cathedral the other night for some ordination service, and it's just a wonderful building. It's just wonderful. And we can come to worship the building. And churches, church buildings. People can come to worship the traditions of the church, the form, the liturgy, the ceremonies. We can worship music and whatever form it comes in. Yes, people believe in God, but actually, churchy things become what's important. What's this building like, etc., rather than what God wants. You see, idolatry is very subtle. And so a good question and a good healthy Christian question for each Christian to ask is, what won't you stop in life? What's more important? What's snuck in the back, which is what you spend your whole life with? What wouldn't you change in your church? Have some things become idols? These are spiritually healthy questions to ask. And a good prayer for a Christian to pray each day, daily, is, Lord, keep me from idols. It's a good prayer to pray. Thirdly, the results of idolatry. It provokes God's jealousy. Verse 23, do not make yourself an idol, for the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. Now, when the Bible says that God is jealous, it doesn't mean what we mean. You know, I get jealous if somebody's got what I haven't got. I mean, I get jealous of them. I get jealous of people's looks sometimes. I know I'm very good looking, I know that, but there are some people who are better looking than me. So I get jealous, you see. But you see, that's a sinful, self-centered jealousy. God's jealousy isn't like that. That word here has an element within it of righteousness, meaning God is passionate, jealous for the betterment of Israel. That's what it means. God wants Israel to be holy in a right relationship with Him because that alone is true life. And to worship anything else is sin. And eventually, like all sin, it destroys. You see, idols mislead us. They lie to us. They say, well, if you live for me, you'll be happy. Money says, if you have money and you get more money, well, you can have anything. You'll have a wonderful life. And so they live for money, thinking that it will make them happy. But it doesn't. Look at the lives of some of the rich celebrities throughout the world. Not all of them. But behind the scenes, their lives are often sad and lonely. I know up front and on television, they look wonderfully happy, happy as anything. But they can be in and out of relationships. They get lonely. They get hurt. Their life can often involve drugs and drink and rehab. Money promises much. But ultimately, it doesn't bring happiness. It destroys, as it does with anything we live for apart from God. Whether it's your career, whether it's travel or a comfortable life, or some issue you're obsessed with which you focus on in your life, or some past hurt which you actually can't get over and you're obsessed with that. Anything, whatever it is, anything instead of God will come to nothing. And if you're a Christian, it will destroy your Christian life. That is, your Christian life won't be spiritually productive. You'll always be obsessed with this one thing or whatever it is. Idolatry destroys. That's why God is jealous. Not because he's slighted. Not because he's sort of offended. It's because he wants the best for everybody, which is life. God also judges idolatry. Verses 25 to 28, Moses says, if they do follow idols, they will perish in the land. They will be scattered amongst the nations, out of the promised land. Later generations experienced exactly that. Read the prophets. Read Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Micah. Israel sacrificed to other gods and they paid the consequences. They went into exile. They went into slavery because of it. And it's exactly the same today. Following idols in life results ultimately in unfulfilled lives, and rejecting God in life eventually means not entering the true promised land, which is heaven. Those are not my words. Those are the words of Scripture. Those are the words of Jesus himself. Fourthly, very quickly, how do we not follow idols? One, realize the uniqueness of God and what he's done. I know that sounds simple, but it is deep and it is the truth. Realize the uniqueness of God and what he's done. Moses simply wants the Israelites to think rationally and intelligently. Verse 32, ask about the former days, long before your time, from the day God created the earth. Ask from one end of the heavens to the other. Has anything else like this ever happened? Have you seen that? Or anything else like it ever been heard of? Has any other people heard the voice of God? Has any of those stone gods ever taken a nation for itself by signs and wonders and great awesome deeds? Has any of them ever done that? Like the land that your God is giving to you, before your very eyes, God did this. You saw it. Verse 35, you were shown these things so that you might know that the Lord is God and there are no others. When they became comfortable in the land, enjoying its blessings, they forgot the uniqueness of God, that He is the Creator. He gives life, not dumb idols. God had made Himself known to Israel on Mount Sinai. Later, they heard the voice of God. Later generations forgot that. Exactly the same today. People don't think of or they disregard the uniqueness of God. We've become so comfortable, we've become so spoilt and such an abundance, we've forgotten a very basic thing. The world that we live in, the food we eat, the money, the sunshine, the rain, the health, careers, houses, family, leisure time, travel, work, sports, our creativity, everything is a blessing from God. He created everything. He gives us everything, even life. But we've also forgotten the most basic thing. Things and me are not God. God is God, and we should worship Him, not what He's created, nor what we have created. And He has revealed Himself to us also through creation. Creation speaks of God. He speaks to us through the Scriptures, and ultimately through Jesus Christ. He has spoken to us. Hebrews chapter 1. I have spoken finally through my Son. We are to remember all these things. And if you do, and if I do, how can we possibly not put God first in our life? If we think carefully and rationally and intelligently, how can we not put God first in our life? And as a Christian, how can we not keep Him there and our Lord Jesus Christ? It's unthinkable. And then Moses shows the way to stop following idols and serve God fully. Verse 29. But if from there, that is from seeking idols, but if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find Him if you look for Him with all your heart. When you are in distress and all these things have happened to you, in later days you will return to the Lord your God and obey Him. For the Lord your God is merciful. He won't abandon you and He won't destroy you. In years to come, some Israelites experienced that very thing. They fell into seeking and worshipping other gods. They suffered the consequences, but then they were sorry and they repented. And they sought God and He didn't abandon them. There's only one way to stop living for idols in life, and that is to seek God in Christ. If you do nothing about life, if you do nothing in life about God, you will live for idols. You have to. If you seek God, you won't. But not half-heartedly. Moses says, you will find Him if you look for Him with all your heart. That means sincerely. Jesus said the same thing, seek and you will find. And that is ongoing. That is continuous. Because to live for idols and not God is a constant temptation, even for Christians. And there will be Christians here this morning who know that they're not following Christ fully at the moment. They will be, I don't know you, but there will be. There's something in your life which you're putting before God, before Jesus Christ. Well, if that's you, here's the way back. Here's the way back to be in a right relationship with God. Verse 30. Listen. In your distress, seek the Lord your God with all your heart and soul. Return to Him and obey Him. Verse 31. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not abandon you nor destroy you. Do you see the contrast? Idols, whether it's money or sex or greed or unhealthy relationships or some sinful habit that you've got into or some resentment or issue in life which you've got into, they are ruthless gods. They are ruthless. They promise much to give you satisfaction. They promise much, but they devour you. They poison you. They have no mercy. But God is a merciful God. He forgives and he heals. Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all righteousness will be given to you." That's for you as a Christian, if you're not living fully for God. That's for you. Verse 31, "For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not abandon you, and he will never destroy you." That's the God that we've come to love through Christ. He'll never abandon you. Never. Well, may God keep us from idols. Let me pray. Let me just leave a moment of silence for God to speak to each one of us. Father, once again, we thank you for your wonderful word. We thank you most of all for our Lord Jesus Christ, who has rescued us from all idols. We thank you. Help us, Father, we pray, to resist the temptation to follow them in our life. Help us to watch carefully each day that we put you first in life. And when we fall, when we fail, pick us up, we pray, dust us off, fill us with your Spirit, and let us walk with you again, we pray. And we pray all these things in our Lord's name, that he will be honored. Amen.